Well, this past summer, we had some friends of ours visiting us from Northern Ontario, good friends, retired folks from Crossroads, where we used to be for a long time. And we were planning on settling in for a really nice evening together, at least the guys we were. The ladies, they were all heading out to what they called a peach party, which is a variation of a wedding shower for our daughter Heather. So the ladies were headed in that direction. We were just really looking forward to some quiet and just enjoying catching up with our friends. And all of a sudden, my son comes up from downstairs and he says, "Mom just called. Alyssa's been in an accident and you and Tim need to come right away." So any inkling in my mind, any inkling at all, that I thought about having a peaceful evening, just settling in and relaxing, just didn't happen. Because immediately we left, heading down the street, out town to a very busy intersection, and what was to be settled was replaced with some very unsettling thoughts. We knew very little at all. And whatever was settled was now completely gone. No peace, no calm, just inner turbulence. That's what it felt like. Thoughts and images running through my mind that you can imagine. Concern, even a sense of low-grade fear, because we knew nothing. All we knew was that Alyssa, my niece, had been in an accident, and your mind can do a lot of work with those few words as you're driving down the highway. A lot. My greatest fear, and I didn't start that evening afraid of anything, my greatest fear was what we would find at this busy country intersection that I had been through many, many times over the years. First glimpse that I had were the lights of four fire trucks. Then I saw several cars kind of around the intersection, kind of parked at the side, and then I finally saw the ambulance. And again, I didn't start to slow down in my mind and my thinking in this inner turmoil until I really saw the car and saw really what had happened. Somewhere there's a picture of the car. Alyssa had been stopped on the highway, waiting to make a left turn, waiting for oncoming traffic, and a guy in a big van, cube van behind her, who wasn't paying attention, didn't even have time to hit the brakes, slammed right into her. What does your mind do? What does your mind do? So there's the car, kind of sideways, front wheels in the pavement, back wheels in the gravel. And I only had two questions. Where was Alyssa, and was she okay? Not until I was able to go over to the ambulance and they opened the door for me until I saw her face was I able to breathe again. She had a bit of a cut lip, was all. If somebody would have been in the back seat, as you can see, there would have been a lot more severe picture. There are many reasons why I come to any given church as an intentional transition pastor. God always has a reason why I go where I go. And I believe I'm here because I've been this way before. I've been where you are. I've traveled this path before. And when you haven't been somewhere before, you can become apprehensive when you have to enter into a new journey where you've not been. When you're wading through the unfamiliar, it can be kind of scary and it can leave you feeling unsettled. And a lot of you, I imagine, have questions that remain unanswered about church and what the future looks like, which is pretty normal. It's just a piece of this journey. Unanswered questions don't help with that unsettled feeling. And I'm here to encourage you to trust God has a reputation of helping people navigate through unsettled circumstances. He is the one that has consistently proved himself faithful in journeying with his people. My thoughts this morning are taken from Psalm 46. And Psalm 46 is one of those psalms, there's not a lot of them, but one of the psalms that has some introduction to it, some headings underneath the psalm number. It's written for the director of music. It's written by the sons of Korah. It's written according to Alamoth, literally maidens, probably referred to soprano voices, so men can relax. One commentator says this of Psalm 46. says, this is a psalm of radical trust in the face of overwhelming threat. While the specific cause of the threat is never clarified, it does seem to have to do with the uproar of pagan nations and wars that God brings to an end. God's people were facing extremely unsettling circumstances when this psalm was written. Truth be told, none of us likes to be in unsettling circumstances. If you do, yeah, I wonder about you. All of us, at times, will find ourselves in unsettling circumstances, and sometimes it happens like it happened to us with Alyssa, who was just fine within days of that accident. A phone call, going through a door, driving down the street, whatever it could be, you never know when unsettling circumstances can come. When we chose to move on from Crossroads Church almost 4 years ago, by the way, it was exactly 4 years ago last week that our resignation letter was read at Crossroads. I've been where you are. 21 years of ministry there was great potential for feeling and being unsettled as a person and as a pastor. That was just the potential reality for me as a pastor. But there was one thing that was ingrained in my heart and in my mind when we left. I had, and I referred to it last week, I had what I still call a settled confidence that God would look after us, that everything would be okay, and I've never lost that conviction. Never. There have been times that my spirit has been anxious about certain things, concerned about certain things, but I never lost this overarching sense that God is on the throne and everything will be fine. And I had discovered that in unsettling times, there is a settled confidence in God. That is, if you believe it to be true, if you accept it, if you embrace it, if you live in light of it, if you actually own the truth that it stands for. Because having a settled confidence in God is a choice that you make. And I would suspect that for a lot of us, it's a choice you have to make every day. Because you know, like no one else, how intimately you know your own circumstances that call up something deeper than you can give that requires of you to call out to God and say, I need what you can give me today to get through this day. And it might not be significant. It might be even something that some would think it's superficial to you, but to you it still means something. In Psalm 46, there are, in that psalm, three characteristics of God that can bring settled confidence to our lives. And I want to walk through those three things this morning because I think they're really important in navigating a journey of change and transition. First is this, God is our provision. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Life experience has taught me that we need God's provision when we're in trouble. We need it at other times too, but especially when things aren't going well. And it's not the kind of trouble that gets you arrested. It's not the kind of trouble that is the result of dumb decisions that we make. It's being in a situation that leaves you feeling unsettled or uncertain about what might be next. It's more like feeling troubled. It's a sense of inner agitation, of not knowing, that's difficult. And that's a troubling thing for us. The trouble word here literally means a distress or tightness. That's what the word means. God is a refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble, tightness. It literally means tightness. It conveys the idea of pressure, feeling squeezed, being in a tight place with no room to breathe. For example, it's the tightness that comes when at the end of a predictable service, a service that normally ends in a common way, when someone gets up, for example, from the board and says, please sit down. I've got a letter to read to you. And again, been there. And there's this collective across the place. And all of a sudden, you don't think too much about the service anymore. All of a sudden, there's something inside of you that has shifted. And the shift, if we let our mind go that way, will lead us to places we don't want to be. Outright fear of what could become, all kinds of questions that we could ask yourselves. The word is tightness or distress. Distress is an extreme word, but it doesn't always have to be a extreme word. It refers to a situation or a time of discomfort. And God delivers us through those times if we allow him and if we walk with him through them. Psalm 118 verse 5 is a pivotal verse in the Psalms to me because of transitions. And this tightness that we feel because now all of a sudden everything is unsettled. And we don't know what's next. And in this psalm, the psalmist writes this, "From my distress, from the tightness that I feel, from the inability even to breathe like I want to breathe, from my distress I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place." Understand the contrast. When you are in a tight place, it's like being in an elevator with whole whack of people that you don't know, and you basically are all like this. I don't like that. I like personal elevators. Maybe one or two people with me. Even if they're strangers, I can handle that. But there's a tightness. And God in that tightness says, I can take you in that feeling of being constricted, and I'm going to set you in a large place. And as soon as I read that, it's like in this vast plain that I can see. It's in the mountain valley. It's in a place where I can breathe and be refreshed, and I'm not tight anymore. And that's what God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. We need a settled confidence in God when we're facing times of uncertainty. We need to be reminded that God is in control. The author of Psalm 64 tells us that God's provision comes from help. It comes in the form of help, assistance, aid. And it's called the ever-present help of God, that kind that is always there, always. It's always available and accessible to us if we reach out for it, if we accept it, if we embrace it. Two words are used to define the help God provides. One is refuge and the other is strength. Refuge basically is the idea of a safe place. And I don't know about you, but I need safe places. I need places that are away from the insanity of life where I can breathe again, and I've got space enough to know that this is a safe place. I have conversations with people sometimes who are going through all kinds of issues, and they're stressed out, they're angry, there are all kinds of different things about them that you know that they're not settled in there. And after a while, because maybe of the questions that I act, or I mean, I do what I can to make them feel that I care about them, all of a sudden, and I've had this happen so many times, all of a sudden they'll stop and look at me and say, I don't know why I'm telling you all of this. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? They say that to you because they feel safe. And I think there's a God piece there too, that God's speaking through you. He's working through you. He's helping them to be at peace, to have this confidence that you are like a refuge to them. The other word is strength. It could be translated security or boldness or confidence. It's alluded to, and I mentioned this last week briefly, Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 12 when he's all stressed out about this thorn in his flesh that he can't deal with. I think most of you could probably quote this. Paul says, or God says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power, my power is made perfect in your" what? Your weakness. It's in weakness that God can demonstrate his power. People who go and admit before God that I need your strength, God says, I'll give it to you. Now, there's something very important here. The psalm doesn't teach that God sends or gives refuge from our problems or gives us the strength just to get rid of them and deal with them. It says quite literally that God is our refuge and God is our strength and that God is an ever-present help for trouble. He just doesn't give us those things. He is those things to us. God does not just provide strength for you. He is your strength. God does not provide refuge for you. He is your refuge. It's not what you're running from, the problem, the thing that's stressing out, that leaves you unsettled. It's who you're running to, which is God, that gives you that settled confidence. God doesn't just provide your help. He is your help. You expect him. You trust him to be your help. The outcome is comfort. It's comfort. It's the kind of thing that so many of you do to other people with whom you're in relationship. Because of the relationship that you have, your conversations about stuff of life, you're able to comfort each other. And that's exactly what God wants to do. As you partner with God, as you walk with Jesus, as you allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life day by day, there's this ultimate sense of comfort as you walk with him. Comfort does not suggest the absence of troubling circumstances. It acknowledges the presence of God in the midst of them. He is here, you are able to say, every time. So Psalm 46, verses 2 and 3 says this, therefore, that is, because God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. To me, it took opening the ambulance door to see my niece. It shouldn't have to take the opening of an ambulance door to be okay, to remove anxiety and fear. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. We don't need to fear. We need a settled confidence in God when it seems like everything is falling apart. And it's not falling apart. I've only been here 2 weeks, and I know everything isn't falling apart. You have an amazing staff team. You have an incredible, capable board leading in the absence of a senior pastor. But there's still a settled confidence that recognizes that change is difficult to navigate and transitions aren't necessarily fun. And yet we walk with a God who says, I'm with you all the way through what you're dealing with right now, and I understand it. That's what God says. Fear. The Greek word literally means the emotional, intellectual anticipation of harm. What one feels may go wrong with him or her, may go wrong. May not ever happen, but the brain wants us to go to a different place, a bad place. Fear, actually, and worry and anxiety and concern is a natural response to difficult circumstances. There's a healthy peace. God's wired you to be afraid of certain things. If people see me running, it's probably because something large is chasing me, not because I like to run. You understand? I would run more because I'm afraid than because I wake up in the morning thinking, I want to run today. I used to do that more. The message of these verses is this. Whatever happens, the presence of God eliminates the need for worry, anxiety, and fear because God, the all-powerful one, is sufficient. He's enough for your journey. In Psalm 56:4, David says, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. Pretty strong statement. In unsettling times, there is a settled confidence in God. The second characteristic that can bring settled confidence to our lives of God is that God, is our protection. He's our protection. Verses 4-6 say, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. We discover settled confidence in God when we realize that God is greater than the things that disturb us. God is bigger than anything that could ever come your way. He is able to handle all of it at the same time for everybody that reaches out to him. Your stuff doesn't overwhelm God. The longer you carry your stuff, it continues to overwhelm you, but it will never overwhelm God. It's always something that we can go and say, I need help with this. I need help with this. God is defined here as Lord Almighty and as fortress. As Lord Almighty, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the supreme being, is the idea. No one is higher than God. No one's greater than God. And that he's our fortress, I have only seen from a distance. Castles. I've never been to a place where there's a castle. God, if you're inside of a castle and the enemy is outside trying to get in and the wall is so massive and thick, I envision a Scottish castle. I imagine this greatness. To me, it's like the wall of Jerusalem when I was in Israel. Just massive. And the strength isn't yours because you're inside Jerusalem. God, the wall itself, represents the God who is protecting you. God is the wall. He's the strong tower. He's like standing in front of a cliff, and on the other side it's really bad, and you're safe because God is the cliff, and he's holding everything back that could harm you. And when he's allowed to touch your life, he's able to deal with it, and there's always a reason why. When you believe God is in the house, on the throne, sovereign, that he's the Most High, and that he's in control, you can find your settled confidence in him because he's bigger than you. He's capable. Settled confidence has everything to do with the presence of God in you. Everything to do with the presence of God in you. You say, I believe in Jesus. I love the Lord. I want to walk with Jesus. I give him direction of my life. All of that stuff. You have to believe and accept the fact that he dwells inside of you to guide and to comfort and to help and to protect and all of those things. Verse 5 says, God is within her, that is in Jerusalem. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. That word help here is different than the first verse. It means to surround, that is to protect. I have seen documentaries on animals in the wild, and there are certain, I think it's musk oxen, who when they have their young, the season when all the young ones are being born, if an enemy comes toward them, another animal that could kill their young, they will all back in toward the young and form a circle around them facing the predator. God is the one that surrounds us. He puts us in the safe place. He puts us in the place where we can be at calm and at peace because we trust what he is to us. The outcome? Confidence. Confidence beyond the kind that you can conjure up for yourself. Settled confidence isn't the kind of thing that you muster because you're experienced because of, or whatever else it would be. This kind of confidence is confidence in another because of the lack of my own ability to get through something. We rest on God's confidence. The settled confidence comes because of the confidence we receive by looking to Jesus. Ephesians 3:20 says, to him who is able, referring to God, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. That's the one that we look to. That's the one that he wants us to follow, to believe that there's more in life and in our circumstances than the struggles that we face even now. Third characteristic, God is our peace. God is our peace. Psalm 46, verses 8 and 9 says this, come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And then he says this, be still and know that I am God. I think in parentheses afterwards, in really fine print, it says, and you are not. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Remember, the context is the turmoil that Israel was dealing with from their enemies and the pagan nations. Be still and know that I am God. Even in the midst of your stress in life, the main thing is that we experience settled confidence when we stop fretting about our circumstances and start trusting in God who can get us through them. Not help us get by them or eliminate them, but as we journey through, to help us to be still and to help us have peace. When we are still, that word literally means cease. It's like to let your hands hang beside you. And the idea is that you stop striving and trying to bring peace to yourself and stop trying to fix everything so that it works right, to stop doing all kinds of things that just aren't working because you're not God. Because there's seasons of life that we go through, and it's not just about church, it's personal, that we can't fix it ourselves, and we have to go to someone else. Maybe a doctor, maybe a friend, maybe some professional for some reason, but we can't do it all ourselves. So God says there are times like that that you just have to put your hands down and admit you can't do it. And by the way, it's not admitting defeat. It's admitting that you're human and that you need people to come alongside you. And in this context, in this great context, it's God himself. The idea is to allow God room to work. You don't have to strive to keep trying because God is supreme and he'll work it out. So we learn to let him lead. We learn to follow because it's not about you or me. It's about God in us. It's about God in us. Be still and know. Noted author Oswald Chambers wrote that peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. Mostly when there's trouble in our lives, what do we want to do with it? We want to eliminate it, don't we? As quick as we can, as painlessly as we can, and probably as cheap as we can. We just want to get rid of the problems in our lives. And God says that doesn't give him opportunity to demonstrate the kind of God that he is in our lives. John Ortberg writes some really, what I think, incredible things about this very thing, about the presence of God. John Ortberg is one of my favorite authors. He says this, and he's writing about Jesus napping in a boat with his friends when a storm came. And he says, they woke him up terrified, and Jesus looked at the storm and said, "Peace, be still," and it was. He says Jesus was a non-anxious presence. He carried peace with him. He didn't say, "If you follow me, you will never have problems," for Jesus himself faced big problems. He was always getting into trouble and eventually got killed. And then he writes this, "Peace doesn't come from finding a lake with no storms. It comes from having Jesus in the boat." Most of us want to find calm water. It's not about the water. It's about who is with you in the turbulence. And I don't think there's a lot of turbulence, except some of the inner stuff that we allow as we journey forward. He continues, God doesn't want us to live in worry or fear. He wants us to live with bold confidence in his power. The peace of Jesus is the settled conviction that goes down to the core of your being, to your belly where rivers of living water can flow, that all things are in God's hands. Therefore, all things will be well, and you can live free of worry, burden, or fear. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob, is present. The outcome is calm. Calm. It's this relaxed spirit of knowing that everything will be okay. Not just today, but in a bigger picture, everything will be okay. Calm is not the self-generated attempt to relax. It is, I think, a God-given disposition once we allow him his rightful place in our lives and he gives us this sense of peace. And the theme threaded throughout this whole psalm is the presence of God with us. You do not stand alone, not as a person, not as a church. Because there's been a significant transition in the life of the church does not mean that God stopped doing certain things. In fact, it's just another opportunity for God to work in your midst and to teach you things and for us to learn and to grow and continue to become what God has called us to be as a church. So the presence of God eliminates the need for worry and anxiety and fear because God is sufficient. He's enough. He's all you need. He's that foundational. The presence of God demonstrates that he works on our behalf because God is able. When we aren't, he always is. And the presence of God creates in us a hunger for more of him because God is faithful. I imagine that every one of us in the room could say at some level of our life experience that someone has let us down, that our high expectations of people have been broken in one way or another. And God never does that. He's the epitome of faithfulness. He's stubborn in his commitment to you. And when all is said and done, when we have embraced the comfort, confidence, and calm that God has provided, we will know by personal experience that in unsettling times, we can know and experience the settled confidence of God. That is my prayer for you, for us as we journey together. That when we wake up in the morning or when we're processing stuff in a ministry in the church or whatever it is, that we know that regardless of what we have to navigate, it is a safe place where God has put us. And he gives us everything that we need to navigate the journey. And if there's some area of that, even one of these characteristics of God that God has used to speak into your heart this morning, pay attention to what God is saying, because that will contribute to the greater health of the church as you strive to become what God's called you to be and to do what he's called you to do. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you again for this journey. There are many times, Father, in transition seasons when we want to resist the changes and wrestle with so much of the dynamic. But Father, I just pray that we would embrace the journey that you are leading us through at this time. And Lord, person to person, I just pray that you would just speak peace into our lives, that you would give us this comfort and this calm, this settled confidence that only you can give to us, even when everything else doesn't seem right. And we bless you, God, for what you do, and pray that this week you give us opportunity to trust you, to lean on you, and to see once again how faithful you are to us as we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.